Here we are again. We're streaming more and more interviews every day. This is Radio Entrepreneurs, and we're talking about the economy, the changes going on in the economy, how people are working, and what to stay away from and what to do. That's really the key. Our next guest is David Glob, shareholder, Rich May Law Firm. Welcome, David.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to be on.
Great. So you do a lot of work with evictions and notices during COVID, and that must be a hot topic.
Yeah, I do general business litigation, and obviously civil litigation generally has been on hold since mid-March, and a lot of that backlog is of course evictions and foreclosures because of the Massachusetts stay, as well as the federal moratorium. So it's interesting to think about how that's going to play out as those stays start to come to an end.
So tell us, you know, again, more specifically into what's been going on with evictions and notices and how this is all going into our economy and going to affect us.
Yeah, so essentially evictions in residential tenancies and certain small business tenancies are on hold. The same thing for residential foreclosures, which means that courts simply are directed to not accept any filings in those cases, not schedule any hearings on those cases. And that's similar to what's going on in litigation generally. It's a step up from the litigation stays for civil litigation. So I think in all those cases, once those stays expire, in general civil litigation on June 30th, for foreclosures, evictions, a little bit after that, it's interesting to start to think about what we're gonna see, whether there will be a slew of actions filed on July 1st, whether all those things will be added to the court's backlog, which existed before COVID and would only be increased right now, or if we're going to see parties taking more efforts to resolve these cases in creative ways, either through alternative dispute resolution, whether that be mediation or arbitration, or directly in negotiations between the parties. And we've been seeing some of that already. Certainly in the lease context, we've been seeing landlords being pretty willing to, in many cases, work out adjustments to leases, whether it's deferrals or extensions of deferrals of the rent or extensions of the term of the lease, and different ways that tenants can get caught up retroactively.
Well, I don't know if you're seeing any of what's been going on. I'm always wondering, not just the people who are renting, and I'm thinking commercial real estate who are hurting, let's say in small shops paying, but also the people who own these small malls, if they're hurting and what their cash flow is like. Do you have any indication on how that's been going either side?
Yeah, it's a tricky problem for both sides. Obviously, if the tenants aren't paying, the landlord's suffering, and if the tenants are closed, the tenants in many cases can't pay. So I think that dynamic, the fact that both sides are really aligned in being harmed by this, is pushing them to try to find creative solutions that work for both of them. Like most compromises, a lot of these are not going to be ideal for either side, but if it continues a good tenant-landlord relationship and allows them to move forward from this in a sensible way that doesn't drive either party out of business, then that tends to be the right outcome. In some cases, you can't reach an outcome like that, and that's where we're going to see more litigation in the cases that can't be resolved.
So tenant and landlords, any rules you like to give them to protect themselves right now?
First and foremost, once you start having these discussions, and I'd suggest having these discussions early on, being forthcoming about issues that you might see coming up. If you're a landlord and you perceive that your tenants are probably going to be suffering next month, if their businesses have continued to be closed, then maybe proactively have that discussion. And above all, get everything in writing. You know, a lot of people have these casual conversations about these issues, and then when it comes down to actually working through the terms, if you don't have it in writing, there could be a misunderstanding. Somebody could have misheard what was discussed. And so that puts you back in square one if you don't have it written down. A lease amendment is certainly the best thing you can have, and they're not difficult or time consuming to draft to the extent you need legal help doing so.
I think that's a good idea. Get it on paper. So do you think there's going to be more fallout moving forward with the landlords and leasees? because, you know, you're still, now you're seeing some, I hate to say it, some riots, and there could be a whole second wave or a third wave of the virus. It could be an economic downturn that continues. Again, what are you seeing, and what are you trying to prepare your clients for?
Yeah, I think it's hard to predict what the trajectory is going to be based on what we're seeing, because litigation simply isn't being filed in most cases. But it is, there are certainly cases piling up that likely will be filed, and the longer this goes on, the longer people in commercial contract relationships suffer, the more of that there's going to be. It can't all be resolved amicably. But the hope is that to the extent that people can work together in a cooperative way, we can minimize that. I certainly expect on the litigation side of my practice to be hit with a number of cases that they're going to need to be filed as soon as these restrictions start being lifted. And then it'll be a matter of how quickly the courts can start processing them. Again, as I mentioned before, with the courts already having had an existing backlog of cases, it's anyone's guess as to how they're going to work through these new cases. And we are seeing courts starting to do that even now. I've had some hearings via Zoom in the last couple of weeks, so it's clear that the courts recognize that and are trying to minimize that problem to the extent they can, getting a handle on the technology. And I think that's interesting too. That's an interesting shift. It's been annoying and frustrating to some of us litigators to have to change how we do that aspect of our business. But it's great to see the courts adopting new technology. And frankly, I think some of the changes that we're seeing could be here to stay. I think the ability to access court hearings remotely is an improvement in a lot of ways, particularly beneficial to folks like self-represented litigants, people who can't necessarily take a day off from work to go to a court hearing, people with childcare responsibilities. So, you know, we could see some of these changes staying put as ways to improve access to justice, which I think is certainly a good thing.
Remind everybody, we've been speaking with David Glob, shareholder at Rich May Law. David, if someone was looking for your advice in these areas, how would they find you or the firm?
Sure. So the firm is Rich May. We're at richmaylaw.com, so you can find my profile there. You can email me at dglod@richmaylaw.com, or feel free to give me a call, 617-556-3852.
Well, it's been great speaking with you today. I wish you continued success. I want to remind our listeners, there are many ways to find Radio Entrepreneurs and David Glob. That's following us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. That's quite a list. I think we would all agree. And you can always find me at Mage LLC. That's jdavis@mageusa.com. David, I want to thank you again for being on the show today, and remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs.
Take care. Thanks for having me on.